You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Psychologist Dr. Michelle, and as always, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to talk station on the internet. I'm here to help you with your issues and stresses, depression, whether it has to do with relationships or family, which are my specialties, or just helping you work out issues in general, you know, self-improvement. Helping you feel better in general. That's what you do here. And by the way, as always, we have a fabulous guest. If you'd like to call in, you can do so here and talk to me or my guest at 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Let me ask you some questions here. Would you like to find fulfillment in your relationships? Are you in a relationship where you can't get the love and support you desire? Is this always happening to you? Do your relationships fall apart? Well, my guest today is author and psychologist, Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's going to help you answer these and many more questions. And we're also going to be talking about her successful book, Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. And in the book, she puts together the psychological, the spiritual, and the practical aspects of relationships to help you get what you always desired. I use this book, believe it or not. Well, you do believe it because you believe me. I'm a truthful person. I use this book every day. It really has helped me. So, Dr. Brenda Shoshana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome. It's great being here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always lovely to have you. And I love talking about your book and what you teach in it. And also, we're going to be talking about your next workshop that listeners might want to attend if they want to discover how to let go, how to deal with blows and problems, and, you know, just kind of get their life a little bit more peaceful. So I think it's a good idea. And it's happening, of course, in New York area, right, Brenda?
That's right. It's up in Mount Tremper at the Zen Mountain Monastery. That's about half an hour north of Woodstock along the Hudson. Beautiful, along the Hudson.
Oh, yeah. That is beautiful up there. And we're going to be talking also about how people can get in touch with you about that workshop and also how to get your book as well. You know, what I love about you, Brenda, is you're so humble, and you humbly call yourself a student of Zen.
Absolutely.
Although you've been practicing for almost 40 years.
Well, you know, the truth is, the real truth, I'm actually not being humble, I'm being really just honest.
Okay.
And the truth is, in Zen practice, it takes about 50 years to be a real beginning student.
My goodness.
And that's the truth. And to be a beginning student is really something. It's really something.
It's a great journey.
So one of the truths about Zen, you know, is that it's not that you're being humble, but you're kind of not just being honest, being real.
Yes.
Just looking at what is, not trying to puff yourself up in a million ways and advertise yourself as something you're not.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
With all those robes and cloths and games we put on all the time.
Right, right. Brenda, what is it about Zen that really attracted you to learning it and maintaining it so long in your life?
That's such a wonderful question, Michelle. You know, I don't know if I told you the story. You know, I guess when I was 15, years old, I was in a history class, and my history teacher, and this was many years ago, came over to me, and he had a little package for me wrapped up in a brown paper bag, and he said, "I really think this is for you.
Wow.
Take it home and read it, and don't show anyone." So, of course, if anyone said that in this day and age, we know what we'd be thinking it was. So I took the book home, and I was excited, and I opened it up, and it was a little, in those days, it was, oh my goodness, it was a little small, narrow book, which was called On Zen by D.T. Suzuki, one of the first books that came along to the West.
Yes, that was.
And I picked it up. I was trying to read it. I didn't understand the first thing about it. You know, all these little questions between the Zen masters and the students. I had no idea what it meant, but I became extremely happy reading
right.
it. I got excited. I thought, wow, this is great. This is it. I kept having this wonderful, happy feeling. And I didn't know why, of course. And people would ask, and of course I couldn't stop reading it over and over and over. And then people would say, "Well, what's in it? What does it mean?" And I would say, "I just don't know, but I know that it's true and that it's right for me and it's right and this is it."
Yes.
So I kept for many, many years reading it, holding on to that book until I found my teacher who came about 17 years later.
Really?
And, so, you know, it's not that we know it with our intellectual, conscious, thinking mind, but something in our being
yes.
knows and responded somewhere I knew. And actually, then it's about making that part, that intuition,
yes.
that part conscious and bringing it into our lives.
Wow.
So
yeah.
When you say study it, it's like it studied me. I really didn't have a choice. I mean, I had a choice, but I was...
Yes, you did.
I was immediately drawn And I recognized something in it,
mm-hmm.
but it takes many years to know what you recognize and also just to practice it.
Right. And what I also really enjoy about you is you are not only an author and lecturer and teacher, but you are a licensed psychologist.
Yes.
So it's really wonderful because you're one of the longest practicing Zen psychologists I've ever known.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
No, it's amazing.
I guess I'm kind of like a little dinosaur here.
No, it's a good
you
thing.
Know, I lived my life. I became a psychologist. Mm-hmm. I had family, married, had kids, the whole, you know, lived a regular life and kept practicing. So from some, you know, Zen actually in the past was a monastic practice, basically.
Yes. Oh,
but it's been such a wonderful adventure and challenge of transplanting it in the West. As a practice for lay practitioners,
mm-hmm.
people who have lives, families, children, professions, and so forth. That's another challenge, is to integrate
sure.
it into everyday life.
Absolutely. And, you know, your specialty is working with people who have problems in life in general, but also in relationships. So
right.
how do you apply the concepts of Zen to helping people with their relationship issues?
Well, that's what we're doing this weekend. It's all about that. I mean, we're calling it relationships as spiritual practice, which I love that. And actually, I'm going to give a workshop on that every month, I decided, because it's so important. It just provides a completely new way of looking at all your relationships, certainly the romantic ones, which seem to cause the greatest heartache, but
yes.
not only that, you know, family, friends, children, everything, work, relationships, not as something that you've got to just barge through and get your way and deal
sure.
with your own suffering, but relationships as a form of spiritual practice itself.
Yes.
Which, in fact, they actually are. I mean, everything can become become spiritual practice when you look at it that way, when you take that point of view.
Yeah, I guess you're right, especially when you're talking about Zen studying. And, you know, most of us have problems. I mean, you are a psychologist. You also have clients. But we all have our own stuff with
of course.
Our relationships and jobs, family issues, health. And that's
of
just
course.
To name a few in the world going on today. So, Brenda, what do you mean when you say, do not make life into a problem?
Yes.
How can we ignore these
things? Well, I love that. Isn't that wonderful? Because, you know, for so many of us, whatever happens, we have to solve it, work it out, understand it, conquer it, get it to change and work our way, right? The way I want it to work.
Right.
So everything becomes a big problem. How can I work this out so it ends up the way I want it to end up?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, you're in a battle all the time, because many things that happen in life have nothing to do with what we want, right?
Right.
Or the way we want it to work out. Now, if you practice with that, and rather than making it a problem, if you just see it as an experience you're having, and welcome it and taste it fully and not push it away and not reject it and mm-hmm. hate it and hate yourself, then that situation changes.
Yes.
It opens up. It's like a little flower, just book the buds open up. It reveals new things to you.
Mm-hmm.
You grow from it. You learn from it. And you don't waste all your energy fighting and hating what your life is bringing to you.
It's so true. One of my friends, Wayne Dyer, talks about life happening around us, not to us. Is that basically the same concept you're talking about?
Well, life is going to happen. It happens around us, but it happens, I think, to us. I mean, we're in it. We are life happening as well. So we're certainly having, I mean, I think what he means is don't take it personally.
Exactly.
I think that's what he's trying to say,
exactly.
Which is a very beautiful, important idea. In my view, it's, yes, I agree completely, it's not personal, but also not to detach yourself from life.
Yes.
It's important not to. I mean, people misunderstand Zen so much because one of the teachings in Zen is that attachment brings a lot of misery and sorrow. So they think, oh, we'll just sit here and cut off from life, cut off from people, be kind of above it all or cold or something.
Yes.
And that's not true sitting. It's not true Zen, and it's not practice. Real practice is to actually taste everything that comes to you 100%. It's the opposite of that cut-off feeling. It's to really be with this life so that you live each moment 100%.
Right, because that's and all then, we have in this particular plane of existence, and we have a material body in order to do these things. So.
And there's nothing wrong with it. Here we are. Let's be here fully 100%. Tasting it, experiencing it, but not reacting impulsively, or as Wayne Dyer might be meaning, not taking it personally,
right.
Not getting embroiled in all the drama of it, making everything into a huge problem.
Yes, and I love one of the words you use throughout your book, by the way, Living by Zen, is allow.
Yes.
Allow, folks. By the way,
isn't that beautiful?
It is so beautiful, and I wanted to let everybody know, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. It's me, and my special guest today is Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's the author of Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. And it's a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Oh, it's amazing. What I like about it is it really lays out the concepts of Zen, makes it simple, understandable, and really easy to practice every day.
Thank you. That was, you know, that's always just my work. You know, somebody said to me once, I'm the Johnny Appleseed of Zen. I like to make everything workable.
Yes.
Practical. Easy. I mean, people make things so complicated. You know, let's not make it so complicated. Let's make it doable.
Yes.
And get right down to the heart of the matter so we can practice it, because what Zen really is, it's practicing it. It's integrating it in your life. It's living it that matters, not having some kind of idea about it.
Exactly. And, you know, so many of my clients come to me, and I'm sure yours do as well. They talk about those failed relationships, and they feel so empty, and they have self-doubts about their ability to even find other relationships that are healthy. And many times they start out great, and then they fail. I hate to use that word, but you know.
No,
what I'm
but that's
saying.
True, because that's how people feel. It's okay to use it, I think, because many people experience that feeling of being a failure, or that something happened and they've lost out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what keeps the love that we want all the time, that we're always searching for, just out of reach?
Well, I would say that really in that question. In order to really answer that question, we have to step back, which is what we're going to do at this retreat, and really look at what love is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have a really mistaken notion about what love is and what relationships are, what practice is. Most people feel that love, I call it counterfeit love.
Right.
That love is when somebody just adores them, they're getting all this approval. when everything is going wonderfully, when they're only seeing how great the person is, when everything is going according to their way, that's love. Right. They also would think, well, it's love because he can't live without me, or I can't live without him.
And, yes.
And or there's a sense of possessiveness or control. He needs me so badly. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of confusion about need and mm-hmm. hunger mm-hmm. and loneliness
yeah.
with love. Having somebody to take away your feelings of loneliness and hunger and fear, it might feel very nice, and it does feel nice, but it's not love.
Yes.
That has nothing, that's really going into a relationship based upon need and based upon wanting someone else to make you feel worthwhile or secure.
Yes.
That will never work because it's not love and because nobody else can consistently make you feel that way.
Right.
They may be able to for a little bit in the beginning, but when reality sets in and who you are, you have to work with who you are.
Yes.
You have to know yourself in order to really feel secure and worthy and lovable. You can't live through the eyes of another person.
Yes.
So to really experience love, we have to step back and to start, number one, we have to learn about who we are. We have to learn how to make friends with ourselves. We have to learn what it means to really give to ourselves and to give to another person as well. There's a beautiful, beautiful quote by Kabir, who's a poet, who said, "A feeling that's here 1 minute and gone the next cannot be called love."
Yes.
I love that feeling. I love that poem.
That's profound.
It's just a moment that because we have some wonderful moments, those are wonderful moments. That's not love.
Yes.
So we have to go a little deeper. I call it a koan. You know, in Zen practice, we have koans.
Mm-hmm.
Which are questions the teacher gives you that you cannot solve logically or rationally.
Right.
You really grapple with them in another way.
Yes.
And what is love?
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be grappled with in a deeper way.
So does everybody have their own, do they have to find their own truth, what about what love is? Or
Absolutely. We have to really explore, you know, what love is.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are certain simple laws of love. I mean, for me, love is an action. It's based on actions.
Yes.
There are many deeds of love. There's a practice of love.
Mm-hmm.
We can practice love.
Yes.
We can be loving no matter how we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are ways we can, I mean, if you just throw somebody away because they make you mad or they're not meeting your needs with quotes, this has nothing to do with love.
Yes.
This is just using another person to meet your needs.
Yes.
But love is about really not only taking care of yourself, but really taking care of someone else.
Yes,
being
true.
There for them.
Yes, exactly. It's selfless. You know, we need to find what love is within us for us, but it's really selfless. We give up a lot of that ego within ourselves.
Well, it's about really, if you love someone, then you really want to give to them and take care of them.
Yeah.
It may be hard for you. It may not meet your wishes.
Right.
And you loving is learning. There were different things we have in the worship, like learning how to be the Zen cook,
mm-hmm.
learning how to nurture others.
Yes.
Learning how to develop what we call parental mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mind in us that loves to give, care, nurture, take care.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean being a doormat. Some people say it doesn't mean that. It means opening up our heart to others and being there for them. You know, usually most people think they want to be loved, loved, loved.
Yes.
Not that they want to be loving.
Right.
There's a big difference.
Yes, yes.
If
what
you
want
to be loved, 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 you're going to be unhappy. You're going to be kind of miserable, actually. You're going to want the whole world to love you, applaud you, affirm you,
right.
on and on. You know, we'll have more plastic surgery, I'll look better, I'll be loved. All of that stuff, you know. That's never going to work.
No.
It's a short fix. It's like a drug.
Yes.
But to be loving, that's delicious.
Yes.
That's the practice. To give. You know, there's another beautiful poem that says, "Open your hands if you want to be held."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
beautiful?
Beautiful.
I love that. You talk about in Zen there's a notion of idiot compassion. It's about directly what we're talking about. It describes somebody who thinks that by adopting an external show of kindness that they're truly benefiting someone.
Right.
This may not really truly be happening. I'm a little confused. How, when you say we need to show action of love, and then this idea of idiot compassion is Is,
Idiot compassion is that's a great concept. There's people going around acting like they're so loving, they're so kind, they're so good, and actually pretending. It's about pretending. It's about giving somebody, maybe say you have a child who's screaming and yelling and crying and they just want candy, 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 and you just want the tears to go away, so you just give them the candy, 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 whatever they want, even though it's harmful for them.
Sure.
But that's idiot compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even compassion,
yes,
because it's just making them ill in the long run. And you're not giving to them. You're giving to yourself to make yourself feel better.
So what would be the better way of giving to that child?
Well, first of all, when you're really in touch with yourself, you know deeply what you can, first of all, what you can give and what you cannot give.
Yes.
And so you also know what the moment tells you. You're living in the moment, and so usually your responses are spontaneous,
yes,
and healthy, and they come not from your picture of how I should be, but from what really emerges from yourself. There's all kinds of ways of giving. You could give a moment of real smile to someone, real closeness to someone. You can, you will, I mean, it's not based on a prescription, but it comes truly from your,
yes,
heart.
Yes.
When you give based on a prescription, that's often false. It doesn't fit the true need or truly address what's going on in the moment.
Mm.
You know, in Zen, we're more focused in the moment without a prescription for do this, do that, don't do it. The only thing that they'll say is do sit.
Yes.
Do meditate. And then you'll become more and more attuned to your true self and be able to know in the moment what's right to give. Sometimes, a gift can be to say no and walk away from someone.
Mm-hmm.
It could hurt. It could look like it's hurting, but it's not. It's a gift. It's what's needed. It's what's good for them. It's what's good for you.
That's beautiful.
I mean, there's no picture here. But it's what's really needed. Sometimes what's needed is just to be with that person and not say a word.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't know, but you know, if you're sitting, if you're in tune with your deeper self, that part of you knows.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's the author of the book Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. We're going to tell you how you can get a hold of that book as well. And I invite you to call in if you'd like and ask Brenda a question. About Zen primarily, but
anything.
Relationships, right, Brenda?
Oh, sure, anything. Zen is everything and anything. It's not one thing in particular.
Stress going on in your life, depressions you've had, coping with family issues, whatever. And the number here in Los Angeles is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And as always, I invite everyone to, on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio, write me right now at docmichelle@aol.com if you have any questions for Dr. Brenda Shoshana. It's docmichelle@aol.com, D-O-C Michelle with two L's, at aol.com. Maybe we can get your question on the air live and you'll be good to go. How's that? And today we're talking not only about Zen, but we're focusing first of all on parting and issues and dealing with relationship problems. So, Brenda, what are some Zen theories that you can help people with who are dealing with breakups in their relationships or when someone leaves them?
Well, you know, that in terms of theory, we don't have so many theories, but what I would say is when you're dealing with loss, sounds like feeling of rejection, when somebody abandonment.
Right.
One of the strong teachings in Zen focuses on attachment and the ability to let go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful saying in Zen, which is, when they come, we welcome.
Mm.
When they go, we do not pursue.
Yes.
Meaning,
yes,
you know, and so as you practice, you know, many times in relationships, there's a lot of clinging to the person. You feel, oh, without this person, I can't get along. They make up for parts of me that I don't have going.
Right.
They're my other half, or they fill me up. Without them, I'm empty. All of those feelings.
Mm. Yeah.
So when that person leaves, we feel devastated. We feel like we can't go on.
Sure.
Or we feel rejected. We feel it's because of me. Many women do feel that. I notice that in my practice. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I think maybe more than men, so many women, if a guy leaves or it doesn't work out, I hear, what did I do wrong?
Yes.
What was it about me that he left, rather than saying, well, maybe he and I were just not right. What was it about him that didn't work, or what, you know, about the situation? So there's a lot of pain is generated by, we think they've rejected us, and then we start to reject ourselves as well.
Why do you suppose we do that a lot, Brenda?
Pardon?
Why do you suppose we do that?
I wonder about that quite a bit. I think women tend to really, because we're empathic, we have a strong empathic nature, we take everything in, and it's kind of a projective identification.
Yes.
Whatever negative feeling the other person has, we drink it right in. We absorb it as if it's true.
Right.
I mean, they may look at you and blame you and say, oh, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me that, and we agree. It's kind of a part of an empathic female reaction, and it's unfortunate because it's not so. It's not truth. It's not based in truth. People often, when they want to leave a relationship, they'll blame the other.
Right.
And rather than just face it and say, this was wrong, that was wrong, it isn't working, or the time is up.
Yeah.
You know, blame never has any place. It's not about blaming yourself or taking in the negative thoughts of another person. When you sit a lot, that goes away. Mm. It really goes away. You don't absorb all the dark thoughts and negative thoughts that people can shoot at you, because you have a stronger sense of who you are and what life is.
Yes.
And so if someone leaves, I'm not going to say it's not painful. Of course it's painful.
Right.
But then we just sit with the pain rather than go into this whole story that we have about, oh, I'm bad at this, and I didn't do that, and he didn't do this. We just feel the pain. We just sit with what is.
Yes.
We feel it and we let it go.
Yes.
We just breathe it out. We breathe in. And it's a kind of very radical way of accepting what is.
Well,
and also, if you don't feel so empty on your own and you don't feel so clinging and dependent on another, then you won't suffer as much either.
Yes.
I'm not going to say you won't miss the person. I mean, we're human.
Right.
But there's a different level of pain and suffering when you feel you can't make it on your own, and you need someone else there to fill you up.
Right.
Or to be a worthy person, or some people are terrified of being single. They're just terrified.
Sure they are.
To them, it means that to them means that they're a failure there, because no one loves them, and they never got someone who really could love them, and so all of those in Zen, you ask for theory, well, we would call them illusions or delusions.
Right.
But these delusions run us. Yep. Unless we see them for what they are and breathe them out and let them go.
It's true. It's so true. You know, Brenda, when you talk about us trying to sit it out, you know, sit and breathe. And now, is this in Western interpretation, I think a lot of people say, oh, this meditation thing, do I have to sit in a very uncomfortable position and chant Om? And
We don't chant Om. The position is, can be uncomfortable at times, but it's just basically the most comfortable position.
Yes.
It's a really natural position for your body to come to rest and balance.
Yes.
So if when you're sitting in it in the beginning or at any point when pains and discomforts come up, often that's just a reflection of your inner state of mind being reflected in the body. So even if you sit through those discomforts, those inner upsets and disturbances, they melt away and you become comfortable by yourself. The Zazen practice itself creates comfort as well as discomfort. And also you learn, you know, Zen is not about avoiding a discomfort or pain.
Yeah.
So when we do have discomfort, we just learn how to experience it rather than try to fix it right away or make it go away.
Right. So, Brenda, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, in life, so many things come up, painful things, discomforting things. If we learn how to be with it, and we can be with it, then it leaves very quickly, and it doesn't turn into something much more convoluted and difficult.
Yes, it's so true. By the way, if you just tuned in today, my guest, Dr. Brenda Shoshana, she's a psychologist, of course, and author of Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. And you were talking about how really the body sometimes is a reflection of our mind, of how we're thinking. It seems like we can't turn on the TV or radio without hearing commercials about medications and cancer, people who have other diseases. And I have a lot of younger clients as well as older clients who talk about their depression and moods and fatigue, pains and illnesses. What is some of the advice that you can offer people about healing from within?
Well, you know, I personally, since I'm here on the radio today with you, I feel, frankly, that Zazen practice is one of the deepest healings available, period.
Really? Okay.
And it's simple, it's natural, it's easy, it has no secondary side effects.
Yes.
Except wonderful ones. I mean, it's really a wonderful healing practice when it's done properly.
You said Zazen.
Zazen. Now, that is just sitting. That's another word for sitting meditation. And it's really returning to our own original natural condition and our own original natural health. Mm. You know, we have an inner healer. We have many other brains in our feet and our lower tummy. We have a whole pharmacy in our body that's
right.
just waiting to
yes.
heal us.
Yes.
And when we return to Zazen, which is our own simple natural state of a certain posture is very important, and not moving and being mm-hmm. just paying attention gently to the breath and whatever else appears. This practice for me, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, has been an enormous healing and strengthening in my life. And many illnesses have maybe popped up and then they get pushed away, but they're let go.
Yes.
I mean, it's helped me hugely, and the people that I've watched through life grow and heal. So it's certainly something I would recommend. It's really the essence of it, along with the sitting. It's really welcoming and allowing life to happen, and just to be with it, to be aware of it, not to resist it.
Yes.
To watch it, and then to breathe out, to let go, and just be with the breath. The breath brings air in, and it naturally brings air out. I mean, life comes in, and life goes out. As you sit, you learn how to digest
yes.
your experience. I remember one of my teachers, very early on, Soen Roshi, my teacher's teacher, he said, most of us never get to digest our life experience. So much happens so
yes,
fast. We
yes.
don't digest it. We don't take the good of it in, let go of what wasn't useful. We don't digest it, and therefore we get heartburn.
That makes a lot of sense.
Huh?
That's right.
Which is cute. I love that. Yeah,
I
never
too.
Forgot that, and I think that's such powerful truth. When we sit, we kind of like digest our experience, and the inner part of us that knows what's valuable about it maintains what's valuable, and we let the wastes go, just like we let the waste go out of our body. We perspire, we go to the bathroom. I mean, we
yeah.
have to let wastes go, and
yes.
we have to take in nourishment. And Zazen does that in terms of our life experience.
That's wonderful. I just got an instant email here on docmichelle@AOL.com, which you can find here on the LA Talk Radio website of On the Couch. It's from Annette. She has a question to you, Brenda. It says, Dr. Shoshana, you talked about the inner healer while you're practicing Zazen. Does that mean that we get in touch with the God in us?
Well, you can use any word that you like to describe it. Some people would say the God within us, the spirit within. Others would call it the higher self. There are many, many words. You could call it the inner healer. I mean, we don't focus so much on the words in Zen,
right.
but whatever you call it, yes, that's it. Yes, there is the spirit within, the God within, the inner healer. There's a power, a force, an intelligence,
yes.
a love, mm-hmm. a kindness within that we get in touch with, that we open the door to and we welcome into our lives.
Mm-hmm. And this can be a non-denominational entity.
Oh, absolutely.
As well. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's for people of every religion and no religion. It's not a religion. It's a practice.
Exactly.
As I see it. To me, it's a practice
right.
of being human.
It truly
of
is.
Life. And if somebody is religious, how beautiful. They can connect. The Zazen makes that religious experience all the more rich. If they're not going to some formal religion, that's fine too. Then their life becomes their religion and becomes so much more rich.
Yes.
I mean, no one is rejected because of any reason here at all.
Right. Exactly. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Dr. Brenda Shoshana, author of Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. And I've been encouraging you to call at 323-203-0815 or email at docmichelle@AOL.com. And I have a question here. It looks like Kaylee She says, Dr. Shoshana, how can we allow ourselves and wait for the answers to be revealed to us?
How can we? Well, I guess patience is required. It's a nice question, Kaylee. It's a good question. How can we? You could also say, how can you not?
Uh-huh.
But usually in the world, we're so busy, especially what the world is now, you know, with tweeting and texting and phones, and we want everything 2 minutes before we even think we'll think of it, right?
Right.
And but this is a different way. You know, here we stop that mad rush.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there is kind of a different rhythm. You do develop patience. You live with in the space of not knowing. That's okay.
Right.
That's fine. We don't need to have all the answers. We don't need to have any answers.
Yeah.
We're just here we are, and we're living, and we're waiting, and we're being patient, and we're connecting with this. And as we do so, everything is, we really get to see then, as we slow down, And that mind that keeps churning all the time, as that slows down, then we see that everything is already revealed. It's just that we're not able to see it because we're in such a state of uproar usually.
It really blocks our allowing, in other words, to be able to...
To really see what's right in front of our eyes.
Right.
It's we don't really see what's in front of our eyes. We don't, because we're in such a state.
Is
every
it
minute,
simple?
It's just that. And then, and the world pushes us toward that also, you know?
Yes.
So this is a little bit counter culture in some way,
mm-hmm.
to just stop and look where you are and breathe and be grateful and say thank you for this moment, whatever is given.
Yes.
Rather than always thinking of what's coming next, what do I have to do, who's all of that constant mind churning.
Right.
So Annette, I would just say it's already revealed, and you just need to quiet down so you can see what's revealed and be patient.
Yes.
Patience is a beautiful thing to be.
It really is. Difficult for a lot of people, but...
it's a practice.
It's a practice, exactly.
It's difficult for everyone because our society just... It's like we're on a drug, on speed of some kind.
Right, exactly.
Everything is set to rev us up all the time.
Instant gratification.
So, isn't that true? So it just takes a while to calm down, quiet down.
It sure does. What I tell my clients many times is in developing a grateful mind, first thing you do when you wake up every morning, you sit up and you're quiet and you say, thank you.
Right. How beautiful that is.
Thank you. Yep. And sit there with it. Thank you. And that's it. And then get on with your day. And,
you know, that practice alone can lead to some great awakenings.
Yes.
Just to constantly look all the time for what we're receiving and give thanks. Oh, my goodness.
It is so true.
I mean, it's shocking that we receive so much all the time. We don't even notice that we're receiving it. We're just taking it for granted and just barging along, not acknowledging, not saying thank you.
You're so
and
right.
Not even taking a moment to see what we're giving back.
It's so true. You know, Brenda, in your book, Living by Zen, you talk about how we limit ourselves because we're so busy holding on to so many ideas of what life should bring us and what we expect and what we demand. And what do you mean when you say that this holding on keeps us from living and just tasting life, as it were?
It really does because... You know, we have such a strong demands and pictures, how the day's got to go, how my boyfriend's got to act, how, what my mother should say, pictures, strong pictures, expectations, demands, and we're just looking around waiting to make everything turn out the way we want it to turn out. Then it'll be a good day, in quotes.
Yes.
But meanwhile, life is just happening. It's just happening. Things are happening. It may have nothing to do with our pictures, our expectations, what we want, and then we just reject it and we keep struggling to make it the way we want it. So we don't really taste or experience the day as it is.
Yes.
Or a person as they truly are. Because you're pushing them away, trying to make them or judging them or trying to get something out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, if you could, for just one day, just stop all of it, just one day.
Yeah, exactly.
just one day and let everything be the way it is, including the people around you, and really be with them just as they are.
Right.
And, oh, my God, you'll have the best day of your life.
It's so true.
There'll be all kinds of surprises. You'll think, this person who I thought was such... was nothing. He's wonderful. He's cute. He's funny.
Yes.
How come I never noticed it?
Yes.
Oh, this person who isn't giving me what I want, but look how interesting they are. And you just find out what's really there.
Yes.
And you put all your pictures down, because those pictures, they're like strong filters.
Mm-hmm.
And it filters out. It filters out so much that's mm-hmm. so much probably more interesting and meaningful than all of your ideas and
yeah.
expectations. And you could probably be much more fulfilled if you let those pictures go.
Boy, I'll tell you, that allowing, there's so much to that. And, you know, people who come to you, I'm sure, who have this need to control based on whatever their early issues were, as you probably understand, but this need to control everything, isn't it more difficult for others who have that stronger sense to just let go?
Well, I think we all want to control. I think it's wired into the human being, and
yeah.
some do have it much more.
Yep.
It's generated by fear. And yes, it could be harder, but you know what? As soon as they get a taste of it, as
mm-hmm.
soon as they get it, as soon as they just let one or two feelings go or expectations go, as soon as they get it, it feels so nice
mm.
that
yes.
they want it again.
Yeah.
So yeah, their habit of controlling and holding on might be stronger.
Yes.
But that habit can be undone. You know, that controlling is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a habit, and habits have a certain force behind them.
Yeah.
But again, if you decide to undo it, your decision has a force too.
Right.
And together you can begin, and then when you get a strong taste of, oh, this is wonderful, I'm even safer.
Yes.
And more fulfilled when I'm not controlling. Once you really taste that, then it's easy. Then the letting go goes more quickly, because you see what's on the other end is something delicious. It's not something awful.
Mm, that is so true, Brenda. Something I call trying to help clients is detoxing from the drama. It is almost like an addiction, like a habit, like you said.
It is.
Once you're trying to control things or try to control people, environments, work, your relationship, whatever, anyone around you, your family members, it is like an addiction. You have to keep feeding that. I've got to get control over this person. But it's very hard.
And actually, it's not at all loving.
No.
Not at all. You have to stop and say, it's actually an act of, it's an act of aggression, basically.
Yes.
When someone really wants to control you a lot, it's all about them. They're using you for their security.
Sure.
They don't care at all about you, what you think, what you feel. And so the person you're trying to control, they feel it. They know it.
Yes.
They get it. And they're going to resist your controlling them, and they're going to be mad.
Yep.
And they're not going to give you that love that you really want.
Yeah.
So none of it works out.
Right.
It's the wrong way to go.
That is so true. Yeah, and you know, our sense of self-worth is usually in the Western world, let me just say, directly related to how things are going, how well we perform, how much money we make, how many possessions we've accumulated. But there's always that deep hunger to have more and more and more. What's wrong with that?
Well, because, you know, if you live that way, you never can have enough. It just comes, it's based on greed.
Mm.
You know, it's funny, it's interesting, in the Buddhist way of thinking, mm-hmm. greed is a poison, a toxin.
Yes.
Greed, we call the three poisons, greed, anger, and folly, which means illusion or fantasies.
Yes.
So in the Western world, we think the greed is great. Get more and more and more, you know, let's be more and more ambitious. So it's a different point of view. Or the anger is good. Let them know what you feel about them. Let them have it. But from the Buddhist point of view, if those are toxins, and no matter how much you have, you can't be filled with it, because you just want more, 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 more. It's really, really an addictive kind of process.
It's true.
And it really wrecks people's lives. And then they end up, no matter how much they have, often feeling empty and unfulfilled, because the only thing that really will fulfill you mm-hmm. is feeling love.
Yes.
And connected to life and to people. And it's not what you have. It's how you relate and how much love you can feel.
Mm.
So to get there, you're going in a really completely different direction.
Do you have to love yourself first before you can love other people?
Well, ultimately you see that you are other people, but you have to be, of course, you have to know yourself. Excuse me, you have to accept yourself,
mm-hmm.
you have to make friends with yourself, And then however you treat yourself, you treat someone else. You know, they say you can never accept more from another than you can give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't give yourself love and approval, if you can't be kind to yourself, when someone comes around and wants to be kind to you, you usually just reject them right away. That's scary.
Yes.
That's not someone you want anything to do with.
It's true. It's really true. Brenda, I want to close here by telling listeners how they can find out about registering for your getaway. It's at the Zen Mountain Monastery.
Well, that would be great if they're up here. If you're coming on up to New York,
yep.
It's going to be at the Zen Mountain Monastery. And we would certainly love to have you on board. You can call the Zen Mountain Monastery, or it's MRO@MRO.org. That's the woman who is Shia, who is going to be registering people. And if you want to reach me, you can get a hold of me at topspeaker@yahoo.com.
That's T-O-P, like top
yeah.
speaker.
Top, like a little top that's spinning.
Right.
topspeaker@yahoo.com.
Yes.
And my website is simple. It's Dr. D.R. Shoshana, shoshanna.com. You can find Living by Zen on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and type in Living by Zen, and it's up there. It's a Kindle book.
It's a great
and you
book.
Can download it and have it just right away.
One of the best books I've ever read.
It's oh, thank you so
truly,
much,
Brenda.
Michelle.
It's amazing. You
I really appreciate hearing that. It's lovely to hear that.
Oh, well, my pleasure. You student for 40 years almost of Zen.
You know, it's funny when you say that because I really truly am not saying this.
Yes.
Every time I sit down, I feel like I'm starting all over again.
Wow, that is amazing.
I really feel that way, and it doesn't feel like there's like a...
Yeah.
anything. 40
yes.
years is like a breeze passing by. I
yes.
don't...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like any, I mean, it's not some, I don't know, it's just, it's not about the number of years.
Yes.
It's just each moment
there
is what matters.
That's so true. And with that, we'll be going. And I thank you so much, Dr. Brenda Shoshana, for being
well,
so
thank you.
Guest.
I just had a wonderful time talking to you, as I always do. And
aww.
And you have a beautiful day.
Oh, you too. Again, folks, if you'd like to get the book Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life, it's a good one. Teach you all about Zen and really... get it and understand and help your life a great deal. Thank you so much, Dr. Shoshana. Have
thank
a good
you,
one.
And you have a wonderful day.
All right, I will.
Take care.
All right. And that's topspeaker@AOL.com, T-O-P speaker. That's how you can get in touch with Brenda Shoshana.
Hi, it's on AOL.
Yeah, and it's about time that we get going here on the show.
Okay,
listen,
bye-bye.
If you guys have any comments or questions, you can email me at docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com. And, of course, on the webpage here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to talk radio station. You can find me on Facebook as well. And, of course, my website, drmichelletherapy.com. Have a beautiful day. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for others.